This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Clinton and Sanders tangle over the auto industry and trade. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Monday, March 7. Glad you're with us. Here's what's up this hour.
Ahead of voting in Michigan tomorrow, the Democratic presidential candidates squared off in a debate in the city of Flint. Their exchanges were more intense than in the past.
On the Republican side, Marco Rubio won the Puerto Rico primary yesterday, but after other weekend results, it appears he's not part of what's becoming a two-man race.
Former First Lady Nancy Reagan, activist, advocate, and dedicated wife, has died at the age of 94. The cause? Congestive heart failure. Hear how she'll be remembered.
And on a lighter note, how much house can you afford?
In this day and age, it should be better, but still, a mortgage broker will let you buy a house that costs about 4.5 times your annual salary, whereas I would say a responsible budget would be to say 2.5 times your annual salary. So there's a big discrepancy there. You can still push yourself pretty far.
Lauren Lyons Cole at International Business Times has rules of thumb for buying a home. She's here in about 20 minutes. Democratic presidential frontrunner Hillary Clinton may be trying to focus on the general election this November, but her chief rival in the primary will not be ignored. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders repeatedly put the former Secretary of State on the defensive in their latest debate last night in Flint, Michigan, which holds its primary tomorrow. On CNN, Mr. Sanders challenged her more personally and relentlessly than he has in previous forums. The debate featured sharp clashes over the auto industry bailout.
I went with Barack Obama. You did not. If everybody had voted the way he did, I believe the auto industry would have collapsed, taking 4 million jobs with it.
Mr. Sanders, however, did not back down.
He was against the auto bailout.
If you are talking about the Wall Street bailout, where some of your friends destroyed this economy,
Let him sprung.
Mr. Sanders accused Mrs. Clinton of backing, quote, disastrous trade policies, too, that moved manufacturing jobs out of cities like Flint and Detroit and shifted them overseas. The sparring between the two is growing in intensity as polls show Mrs. Clinton's lead narrowing in Michigan. Mr. Sanders has been spending heavily there and wants to build off the momentum of weekend victories in Nebraska, Kansas, and Maine. Nancy Reagan, who brought grace and style to her role as First Lady in the Ronald Reagan White House, has died in her home in Los Angeles. She was 94. The cause was congestive heart failure. Mrs. Reagan had been widowed since Mr. Reagan died in June 2004 after a long battle with Alzheimer's disease. They'd been married 52 years. In recent years now, she rarely appeared in public but had remained active in Republican politics. After her husband was diagnosed with a fatal disease, she became a vocal activist on behalf of stem cell research. Mrs. Reagan also was known for her fierce loyalty and love for her husband, who she called Ronnie, the nation's 40th president, who served 2 terms in the 80s.
So let me close with Ronnie's words, not mine. Never forget your heroic origins. Never fail to seek divine guidance. And never, never lose your natural, God-given optimism.
Mrs. Reagan, then Nancy Davis, an actress, met Mr. Reagan while he was president of the Screen Actors Guild. Charlton Heston once called their marriage, quote, probably the greatest love affair in the history of the American presidency. Let's get more on Mrs. Reagan now from Alan Sanders, political science professor at St. Peter's University in New Jersey. Alan, how will she be remembered?
She's going to be remembered well, I think. She was the last great pre-feminist traditional first lady, a throwback to an earlier era. She was graceful. She was elegant. She was a devoted wife, both privately and publicly. And she was also a very influential behind-the-scene advisor to President Reagan. So I think all things combined, she will be remembered fondly as somebody who symbolized an era. And, of course, her death signifies the passage of an era.
She was behind the Say No to Drugs campaign as well, right?
Yes, and in fact, we've talked about sort of the way people remember her fondly, but it should always be remembered as well, as with any person active in political life, that there were staunch critics and strong critics of both the president but also of her, Nancy Reagan. One of the criticism was her Just Say No campaign, which was a campaign basically to fight drugs, and it basically amounted to what the saying says, just say no. She wanted to create an aura, an environment of willpower to, and so that people lured by the drug environment and the drug culture would just say no and stay away from it. Mm-hmm. Many people thought that that was really insufficient and not something that would really work in the long run. Nonetheless, it became identified with her, and it did have some success. Everybody remembered Just Say No. On the other side of the controversial side of her is she was a graceful, elegant first lady, but that meant that she loved the lavish lifestyle. And one of the things she did, which drew a lot of criticism at the time, was that she raised and spent about $1 million to refurbish the White House family quarters and to purchase some nice fancy china for state dinners and other presidential occasions.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Alan Sanders, political science professor at St. Peter's University in Jersey City, New Jersey. You're talking about the death of former First Lady Nancy Reagan at the age of 94 on Sunday. Go back to a point you made earlier that when you were talking about how she was the one who pushed him to speak more about AIDS. How does she know? How was she aware of that?
Well, you know, I don't really know.
Yeah, because that doesn't seem to be the circles that she ran in, right?
I would assume so. I mean, you know, she was a very well-tuned person. Okay. She paid attention to a lot of what was going on. And, you know, that's one of the important things we need to remember about first ladies. Presidents, of course, tend to be surrounded by aides and advisors who are kind of yes people, and that's the nature of the job. It's very important to have a spouse, or if you don't have a spouse who can do it for you, a very close personal friend and aide who can sort of bring you information that you may not get from the people who are your official advisors, because official advisors want to bring good news to the president in many instances. So a good, loyal spouse is a very good source of information about, hey, Ronald, hey, Ronnie, I guess you'd like to call him Ronnie, even in public. Here's what you should know about this, and maybe, you know, it's information that you should have as you consider how to deal with the AIDS crisis. Now, how she did that personally and, in fact, how it happened, I can't speak to that, but I suspect because they both trusted each other very, very much, if she had an idea or a point of view that perhaps differed slightly from the president, she didn't hesitate to give it that advice to the president, and I think he took it in good stride as a very helpful piece of information that he should take into consideration.
Has the position of First Lady changed since Nancy Reagan left the White House?
Well, I think so. Nancy Reagan did all of this kind of behind the scene. That is to say, in public, she was always smiling. She was always a step behind the president and making sure that he was the person who was stepping forward and doing what needed to be done. And she was always in the background, although she always wore bright red. So she wasn't always in the background because she loved the color red. I think today first ladies are expected to be a little bit more political and a little bit more visible and take on a role of their own.
Thanks, Alan. Alan Sanders, political science professor at St. Peter's University in New Jersey. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Wonder Capital is the leading online investment platform that allows you to invest in big solar projects across the U.S. The solar investment funds at Wonder allow you to earn up to 11% a year while diversifying your portfolio and jumping on the environmental movement. The solar market has seen growth of 1,600% over the past 5 years, most of it in residential and utility systems. But commercial solar, like panels on top of a charter school or a warehouse, are ignored because there's no turnkey financing solution. That's where Wonder Capital comes in with its simple financing packages. Wonder then takes those asset-backed loans and packages them into solar investment funds. Investing in Wonder Capital can offset your exposure to fluctuations in the stock and bond markets. Join the thousands who've already taken advantage of Wonder's platform. Create a free account with Wonder Capital and start investing in solar today. Go to wondercapital.com/thismorning. That's Wonder with a U. Invest in Wonder Capital's solar funds. Do well and do good. Glad you could be with us on this Monday. The race for the Republican presidential nomination is starting to look more and more like a two-man contest. Over the weekend, frontrunner Donald Trump and Texas Senator Ted Cruz split four states. Mr. Trump took Kentucky and Louisiana, while Mr. Cruz captured Kansas and Maine, but also finished closer than expected to Mr. Trump in those other two states.
We're seeing supporters from other candidates coming and joining us, whether they were with Jeb Bush, whether they were with Chris Christie, whether they were with Ben Carson, whether they've been with Marco Rubio or Rand Paul. We're seeing people come together because they're recognizing that their candidates were not in a position to beat Donald.
Mr. Trump, meanwhile, was on NBC's Meet the Press.
Well, I don't understand that. I mean, I get along with people. I'm a unifier. I'm very much a unifier. And maybe people don't see that, but they will see that.
The results ramped up pressure on the two remaining candidates, Ohio Governor John Kasich and Florida Senator Marco Rubio, to exit the race if they don't come out on top in winner-take-all primaries in their respective home states this month. Mr. Rubio got a boost yesterday with a convincing win in the Puerto Rico primary. However, he finished a distant third in Kansas, Kentucky, and Louisiana, and was the only Republican not to claim a delegate in Maine because he fell short of the 10% threshold required to qualify. 21 minutes after the hour now on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Word in the race for the Democratic nomination may be close to over, but the populist fire that's being stoked by Bernie Sanders' campaign isn't dying down. Sanders used a Michigan debate last night as a backdrop for a renewed attack on Hillary Clinton.
Now, I kind of think if you get paid a couple of $100,000 for a speech, must be a great speech. I think we should release it and let the American people see what that transcript was.
Clinton turned her attention to GOP frontrunner Donald Trump.
Donald Trump's bigotry, his bullying, his bluster are not going to wear well on the American people.
Both candidates frequently interrupted one another and accused each other of misrepresenting their records. The pastor of a prominent Idaho church was shot and critically wounded in the church's parking lot yesterday, a day after he delivered the invocation at a campaign rally for Republican candidate Ted Cruz. 55-year-old Tim Remington, senior pastor of the non-denominational Altar Church in Coeur d'Alene, is in critical condition. The gunman fled and remains at large. Nancy Reagan is being remembered today as a devoted wife, gracious woman, and force behind the Just Say No campaign to help kids stay away from drugs. The former First Lady was interviewed by Barbara Walters many times.
I just remember her elegance and her the style that she had. Other First Ladies were, you know, fine. I'm not criticizing, but she had a certain style that's still reflected in the White House.
The 94-year-old died of congestive heart failure yesterday at her home in Los Angeles. Denver Broncos quarterback Peyton Manning has decided to end his accomplished 18-year NFL career after helping the Broncos win Super Bowl 50. The five-time NFL MVP is the only quarterback to achieve 200 wins in his career. The almost 40-year-old will hold a news conference this afternoon. It seems hard to believe, but apparently it's pretty noisy deep in the ocean. Researchers from NOAA recorded ambient noise at a depth of more than 7 miles and were surprised by all the racket. They're trying to determine how man-made sounds affect marine creatures, since dolphins, whales, and some fish use sound to communicate and feed.
Wow. Google, turn it down here, please. What's going on?
I think so.
Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. The new high-performance Dell Latitude systems are the most secure, manageable, and reliable business-class laptops and two-in-ones so employees can do their best work. Outfitted with the latest Intel Core processors, your team can reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times the performance. Make your work beautiful again at Dell.com/radio. Again, Dell.com/radio. Glad you're with us. Home ownership, often seen as an important generator of wealth, right? In fact, the Survey of Consumer Finances shows the median net worth of a homeowner is $194,500. That's 36 times greater than that of a renter. With spring buying season approaching, Lauren Lyons Cole at International Business Times has rules of thumb on being able to afford a house. Lauren, what do we have?
Well, Bank of America actually just released a new mortgage product that allows people to put down as little as 3% when they're looking to buy a home. And, of course, we're heading into springtime when a lot of people will be looking to do that. But it could impact your long-term financial goals if you stretch yourself too far outside of your budget.
All right. Didn't we get into trouble several years ago with really minimal down payments?
We did, yeah. And it was a different situation a few years ago. They weren't checking people's credit scores as closely, their income, their employment prospects. In this day and age, it should be better, but still, a mortgage broker will let you buy a house that costs about 4.5 times your annual salary, whereas I would say a responsible budget would be to say 2.5 times your annual salary. So there's a big discrepancy there. You can still push yourself pretty far, even with better terms these days.
Yeah. All right. So good rules of thumb. All right. What else should we keep in mind here?
Well, you know, when you're looking at a house, really, before you even start the process, you really do want to set that budget. So take your annual income, think about 2.5 times that amount. If you can stick to that budget, I mean, of course, a more expensive home will probably be a little bit more exciting, but if you stick within your budget, you can take the extra money you would have spent on your mortgage and put it towards your 401k, put it towards saving for college for your kid. You really want to make sure that you're not putting all of your money into your house.
We're speaking with Lauren Lyons Cole, personal finance editor at International Business Times. Her piece is called How Much House Can You Really Afford as we look ahead to spring buying season. Yeah, well, it certainly can limit lots of other things in life if you're spending the vast majority of your pay on your home.
Right. Well, and another thing to consider, too, a lot of people have student loans, even credit card debt, and a mortgage broker will let you have up to 43% debt-to-income ratio. So what that means is the total monthly debt payments compared to your pre-tax monthly income. So, again, that could be up to 43%, but a more responsible limit would really be 30%.
Yeah.
You can do that math before you even head into the bank and make sure that you're, that you're comfortable with the final number, not letting them stretch you to your very, very highest limit. Your mortgage payment and really your student loans and any credit card debt as well. So if you have quite a bit of student loans or credit card debt, you want to focus on paying those down in the near term before you really start shopping for a mortgage. I mean, we're going to see low rates for the foreseeable future. Even if the Fed continues to raise rates, it's not going to have a huge impact. There's not a big rush to go out and buy right now if you're not quite financially ready.
Thanks, Lauren. Lauren Lyons Coles at International Business Times. It's 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. We've been talking a lot about the Great Courses, and now they're offering something new, the Great Courses Plus video learning service. So instead of just trying to pick one course, you have unlimited access to a huge library of the Great Courses lecture series in so many fascinating subjects. You can watch full courses start to finish or just select specific lectures. One that I've recommended in the past is Understanding Investment, a great course perfect for those looking to understand investments for the first time while also featuring specific selections for the more advanced investor. The Great Courses Plus has nearly 5,000 different video lectures taught by top award-winning professors. Watch lectures from the Great Courses Plus from your TV, laptop, tablet, or smartphone. Watch while waiting at baseball practice or a dance competition. For a limited time, the Great Courses Plus is offering our listeners a great offer to get you started. Unlimited access to the entire Great Courses Plus library. Completely free for 1 month. You'll love it. Get started today with this great offer. Go to thegreatcoursesplus.com/deal. That's thegreatcoursesplus.com/deal. Remember the plus. TheGreatCoursesPlus.com/deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Monday, March 7. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Sanders wins the primary in Maine, spars with Clinton in a debate. Former First Lady Nancy Reagan has died at her home in Los Angeles. North Korea threatens a nuclear strike on Washington. Hackers reportedly targeted Mac computers with ransomware over the weekend. But if your laptop isn't working today, it may be because Kim Kardashian is trying to break the internet again with another nude selfie released this morning. Peyton Manning is retiring today. Will he say anything about two controversies dogging him right now? And mapping the DNA of college mascots. That story in about 20 minutes. With Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump leading their respective parties' nominating contests in the race for the White House, we could be moving closer to a situation in which they're likely to face off in November. That said, Amy Parnes, senior White House correspondent at The Hill, reports that the Clinton camp is preparing for a fight that they think could be the ugliest general election in political history. Amy, what are you hearing?
for weeks now, I've been hearing from Clinton supporters and allies who have been a little bit concerned that Donald Trump is likely to be the nominee. You know, I think they were expecting someone like Rubio or maybe Jeb Bush in the months leading up to this. And so they're sort of getting used to the idea of a Donald Trump rival. And I think, you know, with a Jeb Bush or a Marco Rubio, they expected to sort of fight, you know, the typical fight with policy. But they're kind of worried that with a Trump candidacy, you're going to see it's going to be so ugly and dirty, and he's going to be throwing everything but the kitchen sink at them, essentially. Mm.
You know, what's interesting is that this time around, we really have two potentially polarizing figures in Trump and Clinton. There's not many people who are lukewarm about these candidates. If you either feel really strongly or really positively about them or really negatively about them.
It's true. Their unfavorables are both pretty high. And so one Republican strategist joked that it would be a race to the bottom first. Yeah. Who would hit the bottom first.
Wow.
It's true, though. I think they really they're not very well-liked. They're either really well-liked among their base or not. And so I think it is, you know, both have their strengths and weaknesses. I mean, Donald Trump is obviously known for his style on the, you know, he can be a little more off the cuff. Hillary is more reserved and more, you know, she's a wonk. She knows her policy, and she doesn't really go off message much. She tries to sort of stay within the boundaries. So, you know, you have two very different candidates, and that's going to be at play, I think, come before November.
Mm. We're speaking with Amy Parnes, senior White House correspondent at The Hill. Her piece is called Clinton Braces for Ugly Campaign Against Trump. It's amazing how two people with unfavorability ratings that are so high or so strong are both leading in this race.
Sure. And, you know, of course, you have Trump with his momentum. And I think that's also scary to some Clinton allies. You know, you've seen this Trump movement that he's pretty much unstoppable. And so and Clinton has had to struggle for that. You know, she's been faced with Bernie Sanders' momentum and his movement. And so I think that is concerning to people, too. Will she have enough people who turn out and support her on Election Day? Can she energize young voters? Can she bring out this movement that has supported Bernie Sanders? Because Democrats believe if turnout low that day, that Donald Trump will inevitably win.
As one analyst in your story said, or the story said, Trump has used this scorched earth strategy to destroy his GOP rivals in the primary. We've heard the name calling from Marco Rubio. He called Ted Cruz a liar, and he always belittled or seemed to be needling Jeb Bush. What could he do to Hillary Clinton?
I mean, anything. I think, you know, Bill Clinton's infidelities are obviously on the table. You've already seen Donald Trump go there, and they're not even really opposing each other yet.
Thanks, Amy. Amy Parnes, senior White House correspondent at The Hill. 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When you're trying to create demand, you need a cost-effective way to reach your target audience and generate qualified leads for your sales team. My recommendation, use Citrix GoToWebinar. With GoToWebinar, you can present to hundreds with confidence. Whether you're a startup or a company operating worldwide, GoToWebinar can help you connect, captivate, and convert your target audience. It's easy to do. Pick a compelling topic, select your audience, and schedule your event. With automated emails, custom branding, and practice sessions, GoToWebinar makes getting ready easy. When your event is live, keep attendees engaged with interactive polls, live chat, and respond to feedback in real time. Once your event's over, you're only a click away from reporting on registration attendance and performance metrics of your event. GoToWebinar enables marketers like you to easily reach your target audience and turn leads into customers. Get started with GoToWebinar today to connect and convert. Visit GoToWebinar.com to start your free 30-day trial. That's GoToWebinar.com. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, while it didn't come as a great surprise, there was still plenty of reaction from around the football world when ESPN broke the story that Peyton Manning would announce his retirement from the NFL today. Twitter's been lighting up for the past 24 hours with people talking about their memories of the surefire Hall of Famer. Manning's first employer, the Indianapolis Colts, tweeted simply, "Thank you, Peyton," just after the news broke yesterday morning. Reporter Albert Breer pointed out just how remarkable Manning was after having four neck surgeries, throwing 151 touchdowns to just 59 interceptions in his last few seasons. ESPN's Trey Wingo took note that Manning and Colts quarterback Matt Hasselbeck were the only two remaining players from the 1998 draft, and both may now be gone from the league.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, and Hasselbeck didn't come in with quite as much fanfare. I think he was a sixth-round pick and started out as a backup and is kind of ending his career as a backup. So two completely ends of the quarterback spectrum right there.
Right.
But some good lasting power there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And Pete Prisco of CBS Sports made sure to remind folks who came out on top when Manning faced off against his biggest rival, tweeting, quote, "Manning leaves with a 3-2 playoff record over Brady." Just saying.
Oh, come on. Really?
There you go.
Yeah. Well, how about Brady's like, okay, four rings?
Yes.
Right, is that what he's got?
Or five rings, actually.
Five.
I believe it's five.
So there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes. Yes. But again, that sort of, goes against the sort of whole thought about Peyton Manning being just a regular season quarterback, that he wasn't very good in the playoffs.
Fair enough.
When it counted against Brady, he usually took care of business.
Fair enough. And as I'll say, like I said last hour with Jennifer, mm-hmm. with regards to Peyton Manning,
yes,
he needs to address a couple of things.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I mean, he can't ignore the elephant in the room. These sexual accusations, mm-hmm. the HGH stuff.
Right.
If he doesn't at least in some way maybe say, "I'm sorry for..." I don't know. What are you going to call it? Past indiscretions, right? I mean,
right.
It has to be asked. I mean,
yeah. I think there's a pretty good feeling that he's going to address them in some way today, whether it's maybe continuing to deny or address them in some way, shape, or form.
He's been noticeably silent on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, Gordon, a cool story out of California about a homeless man who found employment after waiting on local streets and handing out his printed resume to passersby. A man named Michael Martin shared photos of 52-year-old Frederick Callison, a former line cook, after he spotted him outside of a grocery store in Sacramento. Callison moved to Sacramento from Washington 2 years ago, hoping to be a line cook for the Salvation Army. That's according to the Today Show. When the opportunity fell through, he was left homeless and pushed his carts for a local store in exchange for the right to hand out his resumes on the premises. Hmm. Martin shared Callison's resume with colleagues he'd met while working at a catering company and eventually connected with a downtown restaurant called Pizza Rocks, which offered Callison a job. Pizza Rocks also provided Callison with work clothes as well as a temporary place to live.
How about that?
That was cool.
That's a good story. And there's like a couple of networking angles in there also.
Right.
Right. It's not like the one where this guy was handing out his resume, but there was like an old school swap in there.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like a service for service. I'll move the carts in exchange. You give me the opportunity to kind of hand out the resume, roam your parking lot, whatever.
Right. And he was prepared. They said that, when you came walking up to him, asking him sort of what he was looking for, he had his resumes, crisp and fresh and ready to hand out. And, again, wasn't asking for any money, mm-hmm. just asking for a chance, basically.
Yeah. All right. Had his little 30-second elevator pitch,
right.
I presume, too. Very good. Thank you, Mike. It is 14 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Mailing your letters and packages has just gotten a lot easier thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can mail and ship anything, anywhere using just your computer and printer. No more trips to the post office. It's so easy, anyone can do it. Just click, print, and mail. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk. Stamps.com does all the work for you. They even give you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail. And the setup is easy, too. In minutes, you'll be printing your very own postage. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com and enter Deal. It is 8 minutes now before the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back. She has more of America's First News.
Gordon, South Korean and U.S. troops began large-scale military exercises today in an annual test of their defenses against North Korea, which called the drills nuclear war moves and threatened to respond with an all-out defensive. South Korea says the exercises would be the largest ever, following North Korea's nuclear test in January and a long-range rocket launch last month that triggered new sanctions. Ratcheting up the rancor, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders tangled aggressively in a Democratic presidential debate last night over trade, Wall Street influence, and more, with Clinton accusing Sanders of turning his back on the auto industry and Sanders countering that Clinton's friends on Wall Street had destroyed this economy. NATO says it's expanding the mission to help choke off the smuggling of migrants into Europe by deploying warships in Greek and Turkish waters, reinforcing its flotilla and deepening cooperation with the European Union's border agency. The remarks came before today's summit of EU and Turkish leaders in Brussels about the migration crisis. Large storms are sweeping through parched parts of California and will likely last the week. Kurt Kaplan of the National Weather Service says so far this El Nino has not brought as much rain as expected.
It's frustrating considering we're in that El Nino type of year. We expected more, and we might get more, but the way it looks through March, looking at the long-term pattern, we're probably not going to see those type of rainfall totals.
But storms this week could dump between 12 and 18 inches of rainfall in some portions of the state and heavy snowfall in higher elevations. One odd side effect of the El Nino, Death Valley, one of the least hospitable places on Earth, is experiencing its biggest explosion of flowers in more than a decade. Crowds have been flocking to Death Valley National Park to check out the yellow, white, and fuchsia wildflowers. And on the other side of the country, even with one of the mildest winters on record, Syracuse remains the snowiest big city in the country. The New York City has seen 72.2 inches of snow this year, well under the norm, but enough for Syracuse to edge out Erie, Pennsylvania in the top spot.
Seems to be all coming to an end soon, though.
Let's hope.
Right in the Northeast. What did we look at? 60s? 70 later
on
in the week? Right?
Can't wait.
Good stuff. Spring. Come on. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack? When you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price. And if saving money and a clean shave isn't incentive enough, Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. Our way of saying thank you for trying us. How are we able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures them. That's how. So go to Harry's.com right now and enter code 4000 at checkout. That's Harry's.com, code 4000.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Monday. The Wall Street Journal says the new way for college students to show team spirit is to break down the DNA of a beloved mascot. Some of the mascots, such as the Nittany Lion, named for Mount Nittany near the Penn State campus, are either extinct or can no longer be found. Other critters aren't scientifically important, but that doesn't damp schools' zeal, like the study of Sammy the Slug, the mascot of the University of California, Santa Cruz. Oregon State University, home of Benny the Beaver, last fall raised $30,000 online to sequence the American Beaver. It could answer why the rodent's two front teeth are orange. At the University of Maryland, a terrapin project is trying to determine things like why the turtle is the school's mascot thrives in brackish water. The detective work is being conducted in part by freshmen who enroll in a terrapin genomics course. And 6 years ago, before it was ever trendy to study such stuff, researchers at Virginia Tech helped to sequence the American turkey related to the school's Hokey Bird mascot. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.